Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Mobrig, and today on Route 51, we talk about life. The Learning is Forever program, sponsored by UW Stevens Point and hosted by UWSP Continuing Education. There are 400 adult members of the LIFE program who have access to about 80 classes on a wide range of topics each semester. The courses are all taught by volunteers, including many retired faculty members. And today, we are broadcasting Route 51 from an actual Learning is Forever classroom. And the topic of today's class, Wisconsin Public Radio in our region, and our guest today talking specifically about Learning is Forever, Richard Feldman, a retired UWSP professor of philosophy and a member of the LIFE Curriculum Committee, who was with the program from its inception more than 10 years ago. Also, Tom Ordens, a member and past president of the LIFE Board of Directors, a member of the Curriculum Committee, and a former teacher and safety consultant for Century Insurance. And also joining us, Vicki Richmond Hawkins, the Director of Continuing Education at UW Marathon County in Wausau. Now, due to the special nature of today's Route 51 program, we will not be taking phone calls from listeners, although we may get a question or two in from our live audience. So let's start with you, Dick Feldman. Start by telling us all about the LIFE program, your reason for starting it, and what happened 10 or so years ago.
Well, our reason for being interested in the LIFE program started because of our interest in the elder hostel programs.
Really?
We've attended 25 elder hostel programs in this country and all over the world, and thought that it would be a wonderful thing to have to replicate a LIFE program in Stevens Point. At that point, some of the university administrators didn't think there was much in it for us, and so we backed off from that idea. In the typical elder hostel program, people come from all over the nation and stay for a week. So we decided to start something of our own. We had a lot of retired faculty, but what we discovered was that we had a lot of people in the community who had little or no connection with the university, but very, very important and interesting people. We have a retired ambassador. We have retired bankers. We have retired physicians and lawyers and teachers and business people. And I was afraid at the beginning that if we did this, it would turn into a faculty club. Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't. At one point, I did a little checking, and I think something like 18% of our membership were former faculty, which means that the greater community is involved and interested, and the thing has grown because of the interest in the greater community.
How has it grown in the past 10 years or so?
You mean numerically?
Numerically.
Well, as you say, now there are over 400 members. They attend as many classes as they wish. I think my wife and I wouldn't know what to do with ourselves if we didn't. Our day is taken up with walking from our home to the campus and attending classes and then walking back.
And Tom Ordens, how did you get involved? You're a retired teacher and later a safety consultant for Century Insurance. What got you involved in this program?
My wife basically got me involved because she retired 2 years before I did and started getting involved with the LIFE program. So when I retired, she suggested that I come to some classes, which I did, and ultimately wound up on the curriculum committee, which I've been on since 2006, I believe. And later on in 2008, I was asked to be the president of the organization, which was very interesting. It's mm-hmm. interesting leading this and watching it grow, because when I started, we were in the 200 member range, and now, as Dick has mentioned, we are up over 400. And we cover a broad geography. We have people from Wausau that come down to Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids, well south of Wisconsin Rapids, Waupaca. So a very broad geography. And I think our age range of people in the organization runs somewhere between 55 and 92 at the present time.
So they're older adults, but do you have to be an older adult to be a member?
You do not have to be an older adult.
In other words, say I'm 25 years old, the young... young strapping individual in Stevens Point, could I get involved and take some courses?
Are you male or female? Go ahead.
You know, that's the first time I've been asked that question.
I'd like to illustrate the quality of the program and why it's so much fun rather than just the numbers. In the last month, I've been teaching or lecturing or leading a class discussing American pragmatism and the effect that pragmatism has had on American culture. Well, in the group, in the class, among others, was a retired emergency room physician. And in the course of that talk about pragmatism, he raised the question of his own dilemmas. It's 2:30 in the morning, he said, here is a patient before me, I'm not sure what to do, do I preserve this life, do I increase his suffering, what do the pragmatists have to tell me? Well, I didn't know what to say, but
those are very concrete ethical questions that come up in a theoretical frame, usually in a philosophy course. But here, you've got somebody who is an adult who's got some experience, and it's not just a theoretical question.
You can't replicate this in a normal university class. Now, I love our students; they're great. Some of them are brilliant. They're all ambitious, but you can't replicate somebody who has the confidence and the experience of that emergency room physician who's telling us his story. And that happens time after time after time. By the way, the discussion of that problem went on for 2 weeks. I got emails from people criticizing my response to him. We went back the next week, and there was... You just can't replicate that in an average class.
Let's move on to Vicki Richmond Hawkins. Vicki, you're the director of continuing education at UW Marathon County. Give us an idea of how you work with adult learners in this community.
We've been fortunate to have what we call our College of the Emeriti on our campus since 1987. I've been here for 16 of those past years. We have a group of around 200. That enroll in the College of the Emeriti every year. And their big thing is the 3-day symposium we do in January called Good Ideas. And in fact, that just went to the press yesterday afternoon for the coming January. With that membership, we get together monthly during the academic year for our soapbox lecture series that connects the faculty on campus with the town. We do a topical lecture. They've run from a philosophy lecture on ethics in September. Does ethics cover too many sins? was the topic. Last week, we heard about the Paper Hand Puppet Intervention Project, which was a collaboration between our art department and the Woodson Art Museum, an elementary school, our students in the art department, and some at-risk students in town. So we were finding out what was happening on that collaboration.
So you're bringing people in from other parts of the community as well, very similar to what the LIFE program is doing.
The membership, we say you have to be at least 50 to join the College of the Emeriti, but sometimes people have snuck in to a soapbox lecture that were younger than that. But we do hold that open to members who are 50 or above.
And the point is that we're too old to be doing unimportant and uninteresting things. We want to have fun.
Right on.
and our classes, our courses are aimed at having fun. A couple of years ago, my specialty in philosophy of law. And a couple of years ago, we did a program called You Be the Judge. And I took actual cases, talked about the case, talked about the legal issue, and then told the group, now you decide, you be the judge. And they had to write out their reasoning. And the point was that then we could go back and compare what we had done with what real judges had done. And boy, was that ever fun. People got to, it didn't come to blows, but people got heatedly arguing with each other.
And I bet you find out that the people who are in your classrooms really want to be there.
Oh,
you know, you don't have students sitting in the classroom. I've got to take this. It's an elective. You know, I've got to cross this one off and this one off before I can get my degree. Everyone in these courses, I bet, really is there for a reason. They're there because they're interested.
Oh, absolutely.
For the most part, you know, you're with like-minded people in each of the classes. I occasionally run, well, every year I run a class up at Treehaven in northern Wisconsin. We do a couple of them up there. And, you know, people who want to go outdoors, who want to learn how to snowshoe, or we did a fly fishing class up there, a number of different things, but you have like-minded people who are there, who want to be there, who don't mind driving an hour and 15 minutes to Treehaven to do the class. We do a dinner and a movie at night sometimes. We'll go up on a Thursday or a Wednesday, stay overnight, get up the next morning, do something else. So it's fun, but you're with people who are really interested. You know, people who don't want to travel and do that don't necessarily go.
And our faculty love teaching this. One, they don't have to grade exams for the group either.
There you go.
But they get to share with people who do want to be there and have experience and are willing to even challenge the faculty on ideas. And so it has been a win-win for us here at UW.
Now, the way life works, you have to be a member of the organization before you can take courses. Tell me how that works.
Unless you sneak in.
All right.
Yeah. Generally, you have to be a member.
How much does that cost?
It's $60 a year for 160 different potential offerings, 80-some per semester. If you join in January, you get three semesters for your $60, which is a plus.
And that gives you
access
your
to
choice of 80 different course offerings?
80 different course offerings.
Is there a surcharge for some of those course offerings?
Or? There is an additional charge. For example, I'm leading a trip to Treehaven in January for a day-long snowshoe hike up there. We teach people how to snowshoe. We do the history of snowshoes. You know, they talk a little bit about how snowshoes are made. And then we go out and hike the 1,400 acres of Treehaven and look for a variety of different things. We look for, you know, deer bedding, all kinds of different things. There is an additional charge for that class, but it's nominal.
By the way, Tom is a football referee, and he's for the last couple of years he's been doing classes telling us about football, and you'd be surprised. We're not teenagers, but we watch football, and it is. He should tell us a bit about your football class.
Yeah, I was looking that up, I've got the course booklet here.
Yeah.
And football is a complicated sport, you know, and every once in a while I'll be watching a game and I won't understand what's going on. And I've been watching football for most of my life.
Some coaches accuse me of that too, but it's a fun class. It's basically designed for grandparents who have grandchildren who play football and don't really understand the game and want to get a little better handle on it, or for spouses or significant others who would like to be able to sit down and enjoy the game with their husband or wife, and, you know, they just really don't feel comfortable talking about it. So we talk about football from the very basics, you know, what's the offense, what's the defense, and we talk about the rules for high school football, Saturday college football, and Sunday professional football, and we kind of compare them because there are significant differences on occasion that they're the same rule, but they're enforced differently. So it's just a whole lot of fun. And
I get all these terms that I don't understand, like what's a nickel defense? What's a dime defense? am I the only one? Do some of you hear that stuff on the radio and you don't know what they're talking about?
The nickel defense simply means that they're going to take one of the big burly linemen or a linebacker out of the game and bring in a defensive back or another safety, so they have five people in the defensive secondary on pretty much an obvious passing down.
Okay.
And if you get to the dime defense, they take another one of those big players out of the front and put another safety or defensive back in there, so you now have six of them.
Six, they just, but not
they,
ten.
They just double the nickel into a dime with one more player. So.
Got it.
Very, very, very complex, but
And besides, when he taught the class, he wore his uniform with the striped shirt, and that impressed me no end.
Probably the only time you've gotten respect as a referee.
That's right.
We're talking to Dick Feldman. He's a retired professor of philosophy at UW Stevens Point, and Tom Ordens, who, you were a shop teacher?
Yes.
And later became a safety consultant for Century Insurance, and they have later gone on to help lead the LIFE program, Learning is Forever, new educational opportunities for adults in central Wisconsin. And also joining us, Vicki Richmond Hawkins, the Director of Continuing Education at UW Marathon County. We are doing this in front of a live classroom, a live LIFE classroom on the UW Marathon County campus. We're going to take a short break. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, adapting renewable energy and wood heat solutions to meet the needs of homes, farms, and business. Information at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrick. If you just joined us, we are doing a live program on the LIFE program. That stands for Learning is Forever, and we are in a live classroom from the LIFE program at UW Marathon County. Now that I've confused everyone, our guests are Dick Feldman, UW Stevens Point philosophy professor and a member of the curriculum committee, also Tom Ordens, who is on the board of directors, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, the director of continuing education at UW Marathon County. Now, one of the courses that was taught, Tom, was a course about World War II, and you told me in our telephone conversation that was something that you got an awful lot out of.
It was one of the first classes that I took, and it was five consecutive Monday nights, and Will Lehner, who is a Stevens Point resident and a World War II Navy veteran, and John Rainier, who happens to live very close to Will, is a Army medic, they both gave their interpretation and history and background of World War II. We also had people from the history department talking about the woman's role in the military. We had someone do a bit on the Holocaust, and then one of the other military history professors did the government role in the war. It was very moving and very interesting, and one of the things that really hit me and intrigued me was that Will Lehner was on the ship that sunk the small two-man submarine that was going into Pearl Harbor just before the attack, and many years later he went back with researchers from the University of Hawaii and Bob Ballard, and they took him down in the submersible submarine so that he could actually see what his ship sunk. And he had pictures of all of this, and it was just really, really moving.
And as I understand it, there was some controversy over whether or not that had actually happened, because this Japanese sub was sunk an hour and a half before the infamous attack on Pearl Harbor. Had they been able to communicate that, maybe we could have gotten our men off of those ships before the Japanese fighters attacked. Now, I'm going to play a short tape, and this is an actual story that I did with John Rainier and Will Lehner, these two gentlemen who taught this course on World War II for the LIFE program. It was produced in regard to their trip to Washington, D.C., to view the World War II Memorial with the Never Forgotten Honor Flight Program. The piece also features Ray Mesher of Hoffman Estates, a community in Illinois. He watched the flag go up at Iwo Jima. I'm going to play this tape, and as we play it, I want you to listen to it and imagine that you're in a classroom being taught by these gentlemen.
In there with the veterans.
They've been called the greatest generation, these World War II veterans, all in their 80s and 90s, finally getting a chance to see the memorial built in their honor. Will Lehner of Stevens Point was on the deck of the USS Ward outside of Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. He remembers firing on a Japanese submarine an hour and 20 minutes before the infamous attack.
And I saw it when it hit the conning tower. The sub rolled over in the water and then righted itself and then started going down. We radioed in that we had sunk an unidentified submarine on the surface at the entrance to Pearl Harbor.
The message never got through, and the ships in Pearl Harbor never got the advanced warning. A few hours later, Lehner saw the results of the Japanese surprise attack.
The ships were burning. Oil was burning on the water. There were bodies in the water.
Lehner's next-door neighbor in Stevens Point, John Rainier, was serving in an army field hospital in Germany when one of Hitler's elite SS troops was brought in with his right arm blown off, needing a transfusion of whole blood.
This young German said, "What kind of blood is it going to be?" The surgeon said, "Well, what's the problem? It'll be the right type of blood." And he said, "If it's a Jew or Negro blood, I don't want it." The surgeon put the sheet over him. He said, "Take this man off the table. There are men waiting that want to live more than he does."
Ray Mesher of Hazelhurst was on the USS Highland off the island of Iwo Jima on the day they raised the flag.
I looked up that morning, beautiful sunny morning. I saw that first flag go up. And all the ships in the harbor, there were hundreds of them out there. The whistles blew, the horns and the bells were rung when that flag went up.
Ray Mesher, John Rainier, and Will Lehner's commander-in-chief, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, saw the country through the war they fought and through the Great Depression. 70 years later, these three veterans think Roosevelt's New Deal policies could help today's America, struggling again with joblessness and poverty.
I think he'd do the same as he did the last time. He got us out of this. He got the WPA, got Social Security. He was a smart man. I admired him.
He was the right leader for the times for our country. The tremendous public works programs, WPA, PWA, all of those programs.
You think we need them today?
I think so. They put tremendous numbers of people to work.
He would probably say we need another New Deal. I thank him for the things he did to help this country to put people to work. Because I remember as a young kid, I remember when the bank closed, and I remember how poor people were. There were days we didn't have food to eat.
And these three vets, John Rainier, Ray Mesher, and Will Lehner, all say they are still optimistic about America's future.
Our strong traditions in our good country will pull us through.
I have such a strong hope and belief in the people in this country that I think we will come through.
We had dark days right after Pearl Harbor, and we survived that. And I think that the United States, USA of America, I think we can do anything.
A brass band and hundreds of friends and family welcomed the never-forgotten honor flight back home at Central Wisconsin Airport. For three of these vets, the hard lessons learned by the greatest generation could help the current one. In Washington, D.C. and Mosinee, I'm Glenn Mobert for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
And again, two of those gentlemen, John Rainier and Will Lehner of Stevens Point, were two of the teachers in a course on World War II through the LIFE program, the Learning is Forever program, which is the subject of today's edition of Route 51. If you just joined us, I'm Glenn Moberg, and we are joined by couple of people who have been instrumental in the Stevens Point LIFE program from its inception. Dick Feldman, retired UW Stevens Point philosophy professor, Tom Ordens, and also joining us, Vicki Richmond Hawkins of the Continuing Education Department at UW Marathon County. And this is all done through continuing education.
It is. And I wanted to say something to Vicki, and I realize that you operate out here, but we are so much indebted to continuing education and through continuing education to the university. When programs like this were first being thought about, we didn't know where we would meet. And back in 2001, my wife and I did a tour around Stevens Point trying to find halls and places to meet. And every place wanted to charge us $50 an hour. And we couldn't afford anything like that. And the university has opened, this is your tax dollars at work, has opened rooms to us when they're not in use without charge. The $60 that a member pays are for administrative costs. We have people in your office or the counter office in Stevens Point who do the mailings, who do the telephoning, who do the scheduling, who print the brochures, who schedule the rooms. And it's well worth the $60. I mean, you couldn't pay for what the university gives us on a continuing basis. So thank you.
You're welcome. I think that's part of the Wisconsin idea and what continuing education is about, is taking the resources of the university out to the boundaries of the state. And for us to take that, the campus that we have, whether it's at Stevens Point or in Wausau, and making them available to our residents.
And it is becoming more and more important with this ever-changing high-tech world that we live in for people to learn throughout their entire lives.
Well, and many of the things or the courses that are taught, for example, you know, Richard is a retired philosophy professor. I never took philosophy in school. So it's a thrill to be able to go and just learn about that. We have a retired economics professor who teaches economics, and you know, I took that in school, but we get into it much deeper.
Besides, you were absent that day.
That's true. Yes.
Listen, it's not just the faculty presenters. There are people from the community and from the state who do this, and I want to stress this to our audience, who do this without fee. And I think they do it because it is. Let me give you some examples. Dr. Samuel Goebbels, a stem cell researcher from Madison, came to teach a class. A mathematician who had taught at the Michigan Tech taught a class in math called "It Ain't All in Your Head." We had an appellate judge, Mark Mangerson. Tom Ordens did the football. We have a retired diplomat who was at the ambassadorial level, and he's been teaching for a number of years now. Just the man is absolutely marvelous. An architect did a course on designing a house. It was a few years too late for our house, but and there was actually a course in which a rabbi, a pastor, and a professor of religious studies all at the same time taught a course.
Now that sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, they all walked into the bar, and yes, I see that.
We operate a little bit different model with the College of the Emerita, because what I do is I make available the courses that are in the continuing education catalog, several of them available to our College of the Maritime members to choose as a free course for either the spring or the fall semester. And then there are several courses that are at a reduced rate for them. I'm paying those instructors. The soapbox lectures, though, our faculty do free, gratis, and our general session speakers that come to the Good Ideas session are really either, they might be from a speakers bureau, from, say, the State Historical Society, or local people who are going to do our general sessions. But then I also am very lucky that we have our Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service here in Wausau on this campus, and our lecture and fine arts program, that we're able to collaborate with them and be able to offer additional programming for either free or very reduced rates.
You know, and Wisconsin Public Radio is part of the whole
and
picture,
public
too.
Radio,
this is continuing education. It's adult education because learning goes on forever outside of the classroom, and it is our job to take the university to the people.
And you'd be surprised what people are interested in. A couple of years ago, I did a class in logic, and 50 people signed up. I didn't think there were 50 people in the world interested in logic, but there you are.
And here we are.
And here we are.
It's Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. We have Richard Feldman, a philosophy professor. Didn't want to give you a demotion there.
That's right. No, that's
Tom
right.
Tom Ordens and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, all in front of a live classroom from the live program. We'll be back with some of your questions right after this short break.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
Glenn Moberg, this is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We are back talking about life. Learning is forever in front of a life classroom on the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. UW Marathon County with Dick Feldman, Tom Ordens, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins. This is a great program in which adults can continue learning, because learning is so important. We've got a question from one of our students, I guess, in this classroom, Don Green of Stevens Point. Don?
Hi. I was going to add a few things here. There's so much to cover. As Dick has mentioned, he and I and a number of us, if you're old enough, we've been in it from the beginning, and the variety of things. Most of the classes are always 90 minutes in length, and usually during the day, but occasionally evening. Classes only meet once a week for each topic, but they might meet only once, or three or four times would be normal. I happen to have been on the music faculty, and all my life I'd heard people say, gee, I wish I'd had a chance to learn to play the piano when I was a kid. And I thought about that a while, and we have a wonderful piano laboratory with electronic pianos you can turn up or down or off. And so I offered for about 5 years 15 weeks of lessons every semester, starting from the beginning with people, and I had some people in that class who'd been in it for the 5 years, and they got quite good. And I tried to teach them not just to read the music, but to also learn the theory of the chords, playing chords, so that they could play popular songs by reading the guitar chords that you read on your guitar, and improvise a little on them. And we just had a marvelous time. So I just wanted to mention that, not about that necessarily, but the fact that the classes meet once a week for as many weeks as it takes, and the variety runs everything from, as you said, we've gone to operas in Milwaukee, and usually or plays up in Minneapolis. And before you do that, some person who knows about it will talk about the opera or the play in a session, and then we'll rent a bus, and that's some of the extra fees you were talking about before, to pay for the bus to go to hear an opera or see an opera or a play or something. So there's almost anything you can think of. You look through the brochure there, there's so many variety of offerings that it's just, I go to classes maybe five times a week, as Feldman do and a lot of other folks. Keeps me young.
Keeps you young.
Fantastic. I don't look a day over 70, right?
And, you know, we've got a course here in musical rhetoric, what we can learn from Beethoven, Martin Luther King Jr., and Shakespeare. That's one of the course offerings this particular semester.
It certainly is. Yes, it is. I didn't go to that class, but it's one of the few that I haven't attended.
Well, let me go through some of these courses just to give you an idea of the variety here. You mentioned stem cell research. You had this professor who came up from Madison.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. This was the second time he's come to Stevens Point, and he's doing stem cell research on regeneration of hair follicles in the ear for people who are losing their hearing. He's working very diligently at the University of Wisconsin to enhance the regrowth and regeneration of hair follicles. And I was very impressed with him when I saw him, because he took stuff that was way over my head and made it very clear and understandable for the whole audience. It was just wonderful.
An expert coming up from Madison.
Yes, unpaid, you know, but came up to Madison or from Madison to present that to us in an hour and a half. And, you know, at that point on classes like that, we will also invite the science department and other departments within the university to attend, because this is something that's, you know, much larger than just the LIFE program.
Also, celebrating and understanding people with Alzheimer's, that's one of the course offerings. Grill, baby, grill. The evolution of tribal courts, exploring art, metal incorporated, the search for historical Jesus, Steve Jobs, hippie, control freak, and innovator.
That comes up tomorrow, so be there.
One called Organic Lunch, which is actually a session with the organist from Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church. So just really an amazingly eclectic Circus Families of Portage County. That's another course. An amazing eclectic variety of course offerings.
It is indeed. You know, the very notion of learning being forever, we've had a wonderful response from the community. I was a little worried when somebody proposed 10 years ago the life title. I thought, oh boy, we're going to be confused with some abortion group.
or leading indicators for excellence. That's
yes, that's right. That's another life program.
We've got another question from one of our students here, Guadalupe. Am I pronouncing that right? Guadalupe Ansel from Wisconsin Rapids.
You've touched on how wonderful the classes are and the variety and the number, but I'm wondering, as a newcomer to the life program, is where do you get the ideas for these life classes?
How do you put the curriculum together? Do people come to you? Do you go to them? How do you decide what stays, what doesn't stay? How do you end up with these 80 course offerings?
We have approximately 20 people on our curriculum committee. I have served on the curriculum committee, I think, since 2006 or 7. We meet every other week. We just concluded our meetings 2 weeks ago. But we sit around a big table, and people have various ideas that they will put out before the committee group. I was mentioning to you when we did our phone chat that I was in Rhinelander last weekend and went on a little field trip up there with some friends of ours to the Dr. Foster's and Smith aquarium facility. And as I thought through this, I said, boy, that might be a really good thing for the life group. So I talked to our group leader, and he said, oh, yes, we do outside group tours. You have to contact this person. So that will be something that I'm going to propose next semester that we do next fall. And we'll put it in conjunction with another class somewhere in the area. So if you go up, you can go to Rhinelander, do the Foster and Smith in the morning. We can have lunch and then do another one in the afternoon.
So you ended up incorporating that? So that I guess the answer to the question is ideas come from here, there, and everywhere.
Here, there, and everywhere. And we try to encourage the newer members of the group to submit requests for types of classes they'd like to take part in. Or if they have an interest, you know, join us and become one of our teachers.
And some of these course offerings are very practical, you know, things like CPR for family and friends. I love my iPad. This Exploring Art Metal Incorporated, hands-on things, learning particular skills that you might need. And some of them, there's a course on Lotus Sutra of Buddhism, comparing it with the Bhagavad Gita of Hinduism and the Gospel of Matthew of Christianity. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, American Presidential Elections, taught by Dennis Riley, who's been a guest on the Route 51 show.
Yes, a political scientist. These ideas, as Tom said, come from everywhere. And new ideas are always welcome. And of course, one thing suggests another. But I would like to encourage our listeners not just to participate locally, but I'd like to encourage our listeners to explore some interest in the general, what used to be called Elder Hostel programs. They're now called Rhodes Scholars, R-O-A-D, not R-H-O-D. Which take you all over the world, and these are things you have to travel to, but that they explore things that you couldn't do by yourself. As I said, my wife and I have attended 25 of these over the years. Among our favorites, meeting ambassadors and having retired ambassadors talk about their experience, and one of these occasions, one of the ambassadors took us into the State Department. We could talk with somebody on the Korea desk. Now, how often can you walk into the State Department and say, "I'd like to talk to the Korea desk"? It took us into the Egyptian embassy. These wonderful programs that are available to people who are retired, and they're very practical. On the local level, you mentioned the practical programs. My wife and I even attended an elder hostel program where they taught us to fly And we actually flew Cessna airplanes.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. And my wife was better at it than I am.
So how much was the additional insurance cost for participating in that?
I can't imagine how they could afford to do it, but the cost was just the normal Elder Hostel course. It was amazing.
But we've been talking about the LIFE program again. Again, this is a program based in UW-Stevens Point. It gets participants from all over central Wisconsin. We haven't told you how to find out more about it,
yes.
And that's an oversight, so we're going to correct that right now. It's uwsp.edu/conted, C-O-N-T-E-D, as continuing education, /life. Again, that's uwsp.edu/conted/life, or you can call them at 1-800-898-9472, 1-800-898-9472. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll be back with more talk about the LIFE program at an actual LIFE classroom on the UW Marathon County campus when Route 51 continues.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, building the local economy and strengthening the community by making local business everybody's business. More about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, broadcasting in front of a live classroom for the LIFE program, Learning is Forever, based in UW-Stevens Point with Dick Feldman, retired UWSP professor of philosophy, also Dick Ordens, who is on the board of directors of LIFE, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, director of continuing education at UW-Marathon County.
I wanted to go back and just touch on the point that we were talking about before the break, getting a hold of the organization at uwsp.edu/conted. If you click on Arts and Culture, the drop-down box will get you to the LIFE area. And then if you go to the far right-hand side of that page, you will find a title called WAL, Wisconsin Association for Lifelong Learning. And that will get you to a listing of the 13 similar programs to ours throughout the state of Wisconsin, how to reach them, how to get, you know, where they're located. They're generally affiliated with either a, you know, full campus or
so this program is not unique to central Wisconsin. There are other programs.
There are other programs, you know, Madison, Menominee, Eau Claire, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Waukesha, Kenosha. They're all over the state, so lots of places to go and get involved with this type of activity.
Each of them is a bit different. So what we're describing here is probably unique to central Wisconsin, but the program in Madison, for example, I think it used to be called Plato.
It's Plato.
Is it still called that?
Yes.
Is quite different, but I wish I were close enough to Madison to participate in that too.
And we've got a question from one of our students, Darlene Todd.
Yes, I'd like just to mention that we have a program before the theater plays that are put on by the university students, and they're excellent. And they range from the meaning of the play and the playwright and the costume and the design, set design, and et cetera, and that's very good. And also you get on a list when you're on the LIFE program, and they send you notices of other interesting lectures and recitals that are put on free at the university. That's very nice to know. And also, I think I'd encourage people to come because you make friends, you see people, and it gets you out of the house, and you don't have to take a test, and you just really stimulate your mind and thinking. And I'd like to thank the LIFE program and the board and all those that make this happen, that it's been really nice. I moved to Stevens Point about 7 years ago, and it's one of the nicest things. And Stevens Point's small enough where you can walk to almost everything when you get there, so it's really neat. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Darlene.
You know, that is an important point, the friends that are made. Just looking at this group here, a group of people that we would not have met, the many of them, or would not have known. And that's an important part of the aside from the intellectual and aesthetic and fun stuff. The social, the community that's built is an essential part of it all.
And we've been talking about some of the field trips, floats on the Wisconsin River, the Tomahawk River, the Pelican River, the Whitewater trip, Tom, you were mentioning, walking tours. There's a tree identification walk in the Schmeekly Reserve in Stevens Point, the Stevens Point Sculpture Park walking tour, the Lowland Bison Ranch and Cheese Factory tour. And, Tom, you took a group up to do an overnighter on a submarine. Can you tell us about that?
I didn't actually take the group. I was a participant. One of our other members set it up. But we went to Manitowoc, and we got to spend the night on the USS Cobia, which is a World War II submarine. We had a full tour of the submarine, and because we were an older group that was touring, we got to go a lot of places that other groups don't go. It was really a lot of fun. It was interesting to learn how they can pack so much stuff in one little submarine. We did spend the night on the submarine. It was quite interesting, sleeping in a cot with your nose rubbing on the bottom of the cot right above you. We learned that the sailors on the submarine put their dress uniforms under their sleeping facility so that they could press them all the while they were sleeping. just a really interesting educational experience. And part of the thrill of it was that model of submarine was originally built by the Manitowoc Shipbuilding Company. This particular model, the same design, was built in Groton, Connecticut, but it was virtually the same. The submarine is still 80% functional, I believe. That's close. But there are old hands who still come, and they check the radios, run the radios. It was a fascinating experience to spend the night on a submarine. Never done that before.
And Vicki, continuing education is something that is really a hallmark of the University of Wisconsin experience.
Yes, it is. And again, it goes back to the Wisconsin idea of taking the resources out to the university to all the citizens of the state. You are the taxpayers. This is your university, and we want you to be part of it. Break down that town and gown divide that some people think is there. And programs like this are a great way to do that.
Dick, anything you'd like to add? We're down to our last couple minutes here.
I'm amused by the town and gown problem. part of it is very practical. Some people say that the university, the walls that are built around the university are called parking lots. If we had one problem that we really like to solve that we've had for 10 years, be the parking problem. How do you get there? Now, somebody said about Stevens Point that you can walk everywhere, and that's true. That's absolutely true. In fact, we find the best place to walk in the winter, and we love to walk, is on campus, because that's the place where they shovel the snow, where they shovel the walks. So you see, the university does all sorts of things for us. Gives us a place to walk, gives us a place to make new friends, gives us a place to learn. What more can I say?
And if you're interested in learning more, well, this is a program that certainly allows you to do it, and it's... we're talking about the LIFE program based in UW-Stevens Point, but certainly there are opportunities for adult learners at UW-Marathon County through the continuing education program. And, Tom, as you were saying, there are similar programs all across the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, you shouldn't be left out. If you want to find something similar to what we're doing, the programs are out there. You just have to check them out.
We want to thank today's guests, Richard Feldman, retired UWSP professor of philosophy and a member of the LIFE Curriculum Committee, Tom Ordens, a member and past president of the LIFE Board of Directors, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, the director of continuing education at UW-Marathon County. Thanks to our student audience. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks also to executive producer Rick Ryer and our on-air producer Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And again, if you'd like to find out more about Learning is Forever or Life, check out that website, uwsp.edu/conted/life, or you can call them at 1-800-898-9472. That's 1-800-898-9472. Next Thursday, it's Thanksgiving, and Route 51 will be taking the holiday off. We'll be back with you again the following Thursday right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can hear Route 51 every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Ideas Network stations WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau and 930 AM Auburndale Stevens Point, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, WHAA 89.1 FM Coloma Wisconsin Rapids, and WHRM 90.9 FM High Definition Channel 3. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.